Bonjour.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. Are we clear?
We're clear.
Clear. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of On the Rocks with Ash and Kiki. My name is Ash.
My name is Kiki.
Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Ash.
I have been sober for 72 hours and it's just been the greatest thing. Okay, I'm kidding. Anywho, long time no chat. Well, let me rephrase. It's long time no chat with y'all. Me and Kiki have been chatting regularly.
We have very much been in contact.
Yes.
Sorry to that person. Sorry. Sorry,
Sorry
y'all.
to y'all, but Kiki and I are still very much keeping the shenanigans alive in our own personal day.
Alive and afoot. The shenanigans are accounted for. The
Yes,
shenans.
because you believe, you best believe we shenanigan once, we shall shenanigan. What's been going on?
Nothing much. It's Sunday, so I'm in my relaxing, not leaving my bed. Okay? We're not going
Oh,
outside. It's too hot.
okay. It's literally too hot outside. Like, let's do a weather check. So the weather in Colombia is a high of 90 degrees and a low of 73 degrees, but also we have a few thunderstorms coming in. Look at me getting my own Rob Fowler slash Bill
Okay.
Walsh on. Yay.
Okay. The weather for Charlestown, it's currently 89 degrees. We have a high of 94 and a low of 75, and the humidity is beating our asses.
Child, like legit, you could deep fry a turkey wing with that humidity, okay?
I did leave to go get Starbucks as soon as I woke up around 7, but
You
I'm
been up
not leaving it.
early, girl.
I had an early night last night. I went out, but I got home at a reasonable time, and I was like, yes, sleep.
What? On purpose?
On purpose, because I had went out Friday night.
Oh, okay, fair enough, fair enough.
On purpose.
On
But yeah,
propose.
how are you?
I am good, just trying to keep my head above water, keeping my head above water, making a way when I can. Yeah. But yeah,
Good times. Good times.
God. Yeah, I'm just trying to, keep a level head. This is a super busy time at work right now. So I've been trying to, while I'm invested in, giving my best and good best like product at work, I'm also trying to enjoy the time away from work that I have because that is when I need to like decompress and get my mind right.
I agree.
Yeah, it's been absolute chaos, and I have had to be just very intentional about taking the time that I'm outside of the office to just really be present and to not worry about what's happening because like it'll be there when I clock back in. I can't afford to take it home with me, you know what I mean?
Right, it's not going anywhere. I am very invested into mental health days where I just call out.
Yeah.
If I'm going outside the house or if I'm staying home and reading a book, it makes the difference. So,
Yeah.
y'all ain't
I
gonna
took
kill me.
two mental health days this week, and it was actually while it was relaxing, I realized, well, not relaxing. While I did get some rest, I kept caught up on some sleep. I still found myself like trying to figure out my tactic for okay, when I get back in the office, I'll do this. And I recognize that's not healthy. So, I am now beginning the internal work of trying to figure out how can I not do that. Like, I don't
Right.
know how to say it like in psychobabble, but like I have to figure out how to not make my priorities about being the best at work, but I'm not being the best at home, or like not being the best Ashley. Word. So yeah, you know, it's the daily struggle, but you know, we survive. Your nephew Hezzy is sitting next to me. So I want to warn y'all in advance, Hezzy is a little temperamental sometimes. So if y'all hear him doing a little rough, just take charge it to our head and not our heart, like the old folks say.
Right.
How's Scout?
Oh, my baby. He is a downtown doggy now, so yes. He's back in his downtown era, because when we first got him is when we lived downtown.
I remember that.
So he's used to it. He's lovely. When I go over there, we chill on the balcony, and he has to be up underneath me, and he likes to like scoot his toys, because her apartment's on the third floor.
Yeah.
He likes to scoot his toys to the edge, so she has to get like a little edge control thing, because he be trying it.
Now, Scout know better.
He does. That's why I confiscated his bone the last time I watched him.
Ooh, auntie.
Yes, my dog nephew is doing very, very fine.
That is fabulous. Do you have any shout outs this week?
My only shout out is to one of the most iconic Sagittarius women, Tina Turner.
Yes.
Rest in peace to Tina Turner.
Yes.
Icon, legend, the moment. She's the reason we have 80% of the artistry that we have now, with people
Fendi facts.
Touring. So
Fendi facts.
The imprint, period.
The imprint, the like foundation, like y'all don't get half of what y'all just know. I went back and I watched the Tina documentary. Like literally, I want to say the first 24 hours the news broke, I watched that documentary on a loop, because I just could not. And I had already loved that documentary, but it was just like the idea of knowing that, you know, she had just for a long time, oh my God, Cody. Okay, I think he's good. All right. But yeah, so just like to know that for, like she said, for a long time, she said she had good moments, but the good did not outweigh the bad for a long time. But to know that in the latter, or not even the latter part, to know that she made a decision that she was going to not let that take away her desire to still pursue her dreams, it's just very inspiring. And I'm very happy that she was able to get past, or not even get past, but the life she had outside of that fuck nigga that shall not be named, the fact that she was able to find some joy and find the joy and hold on to it with both hands, I'm very happy that she got that. And, you know, I really did take that hard. But I also feel like after a certain point, the reward is being able to, like, just ascend to a new plane. And so whatever life she inhabits next, because I know she was a practicing Buddhist. So whatever life she inhabits next, I hope she gets all the peace, prosperity, and love that she was robbed of in this life.
I agree.
Yeah, so that was a lovely shout out, Kiki.
I know.
I know. All right, so I don't have any shout outs this week, and I'll just go ahead and tell y'all now, I was in charge of sourcing topics this week, and yeah, it's not looking good. Like, granted, a lot of stuff has happened, comma pause, however, it's just been really shitty news. Like, I don't know if y'all noticed, but the Supreme Court is trying to take us out, as always. Like,
why? Supreme taco.
Like, why? Why, SCOTUS? Why? Like, why would y'all do this? But yeah, so like, they've been wilding out. So I'd like to start off with a few happy church announcements first.
Yeah.
Debrett and her wife Jessica Dupart welcomed their son, true legend Harris Dupart. I want to say he was born on Tuesday. And yeah, we just want to, you know, welcome young true legend into this ghetto basket of fire we call Earth. And, you know, we just thank God for a safe delivery. And more importantly, or not more importantly, but also I'm just very happy to hear that DeBrett, what is DeBrett's real name? I just thought about that. Is it Deborah?
I don't recall, but I know Mariah Carey knows.
Okay, DeBrett. Bertifold, God, I hate to call each other that. But yeah, I just, in a society specifically where we talk a lot about Black maternal.
Shantae Harris Dupart.
Oh, her name was Shantae.
Shantae.
Okay. I thought it was like Deborah. So, okay. But yeah, Shantae, I am just very happy to know that she and her son made it through because, you know, you just hear all these horror stories. And so I do hope that she and Jessica and the rest of the extended family enjoy this time to get the love up on that baby. Enjoy that new baby smell because, oh, it is like crack. It's just, they just smell so soft and happy and huggable. So yeah, congrats to them.
Also, congratulations when Lisa Ray finds out 3 months from now as well. So congrats to her.
Jesus. Also, we want to give our wedding congratulations to Miss Gloria Carter and her wife, Roxanne Wilshire. I wonder if she's West Indian, because Roxanne in Wilshire, that just sounds like a very Jamaican
Roxanne
name.
Roxanne. You don't have to turn on the red light.
But no, they got married last week, and of course, Mama Gloria, we are very proud of you, or I'm very happy for you, and Miss Roxanne. But I just know she got the fire, rice and peas, and curry goat. I just know it. I just know it. But congratulations to them on their nuptials. Wishing them a continued lifetime of happiness and
bliss. I heard it was a star-studded ceremony.
All the people come out for a star in
a hat. Because it's stud.
Kiki, I can't do
a star-studded affair. No, congrats to them. That's great. That's major. That's huge.
I'm sorry. That was a very good one. Like,
Thank you.
I can't wait to try that one on Jamar later. It's probably not going to come out as good with me because, you know, he, like, is committed to not getting my dad jokes in his day. It's grounds for divorce, quite frankly. But anyways. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and get into the mess. So I'm not going to start with the most obvious headline because I want to save that for the end. I want to save the best for last, in the words of Vanessa Williams, who is in Camden this weekend doing charity work. She and a team are, I want to say they are renovating some houses in Camden. So, you know, shout out to the icon, Vanessa Williams. I don't know why Camden, but, you know, I'm not going to question it.
She has a lot of charitable ties to organizations here in South Carolina.
Ooh.
Yes.
I have to go do my Googles.
Yeah, girl.
Cody, you all right over there, buddy? You hear him jingle-jangling?
I hear him.
God, he got all his ice on, all his dog tags. Cody, don't you start that shit. You see me in your... Why are you being so noisy? Like, do you want to say hi to Aunt Kiki or something?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look
he don't
at me
say
like...
hi because he know he's going to get it.
Don't look at me like that with them beautiful eyes. Anywho's. Okay. But yeah, we're not going to do the most obvious topic because I want to save that for last. So let's go backwards a few because I'm pretty sure we have... I actually can't remember the last time we recorded.
Neither can I.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask you this. When we recorded, had Justin Combs been arrested on that DUI?
Absolutely not.
Okay, cool. So a few months ago, Justin Combs, who is he's technically the oldest biological son of Sean Diddy Combs, but he is the middle, if we're talking about like how the family dynamic works.
The least successful.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is.
Let's call a spade a spade. But yeah, so
let's call a flop a flop.
Which is a shame because his mother is like an icon.
Legendary.
Like icon legend.
Part of the culture.
Thank you. But yeah, so Justin's mom is Misa Hilton. And basically after Justin got arrested, Auntie Misa was not with, she was not for play. She was very upset and she kind of went on, you know, a little expose session on social media in which she was talking about, you know, how the tree rots from like the head down, or the fish rots from the head down, and just talking about how him going to UCLA was a mistake, and her just, you know, letting Diddy have the control he did was too much. And I was like, oh my God, like what? Which is, and I guess it was weird because I had never really seen her or any of the other children's mothers like defect from like, oh, Diddy's such a great person, blah, blah. And it originally, Kamora Lee Simmons had kind of tried to step in. She was like, oh, we're going in on baby daddies. But then she like never really said anything until about 3 weeks ago. It was Father's Day weekend. Kamora's oldest daughter, Ming Lee, had posted a IG story in which she said Happy Father's Day, and she had tagged Kamora. This apparently led to the sperm donor, Russell Simmons, going on a very like anger-filled tirade, and this led Kamora to have an expose of her own. Apparently, Russell is dead broke, and he has not so much, I believe Aoki said, he has not so much as given them money for Starbucks in several years. And he has not been present, and the only times he has been present is to be verbally and emotionally abusive. I believe it was Kamora who also said that, like, he would do very deranged things, like tell people that he and Kamora were on good terms. He would send flowers to himself, but have it signed with Kamora. And I think, like, her most recent ex-husband's name on it. Like, long story short, he's a fucking nutcase. And then Aoki, the youngest daughter, stepped in and actually shared some images of, images and I guess like video clips of him, you know, being his abusive self. And the biggest question on social media I have been hearing is, are these children's mothers complicit in the wrongdoings of their child's fathers?
Absolutely not.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that was my answer.
Okay, cool. I agree. I feel like, you know, I hate to say it, it's every man for themselves. Also, I can't speak for Misa, but I have a sliver of empathy for Kamora, because if we look at the timeline, I think Kamora was 14 when that man met her, or I'm sorry, when that man hunted her like fish. I'm trying to remember if I got that age right. It's either 14 or 15. And then to just up and, you know, I just feel like to target, and I know people don't like using the G word, but it does appear that it was kind of like grooming from a very early age. And while, yeah, she has had a very blossoming and substantial fashion and merchandising career on her own, after a certain point, you know, you kind of got to ask yourself, how much of her mentality on certain things was shaped by a person who basically took advantage of her at a young and vulnerable state. And I just feel like, if anything, I don't mind that Misa and Kamora are exposing, you know, the brass tacks of it. However, it's also kind of just like, damn, like, you legit cannot believe anything you see on the internet.
Two things with the Kamora thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you can tell someone that this person is a bad person, but that person won't believe it until they are done wrong.
Yeah.
So that's my thing with her. And then the shitty stuff, her and her current husband and money laundering and all that mess.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Of course, I'm never going to forget her trying to come for Jordan Woods.
Bro.
Although I sympathize for her, I do not empathize because, again, as we see, you guys bringing your issues to the internet. Y'all have not spoken, or maybe you didn't know how to speak when Russell fled to Thailand to avoid, you know, sexual assault charges.
Because that's what he did. He fled like a thief in the night. He fled,
but now, because the effects of his actions affect you directly and your children, now you want to hop on the internet and get on the bullhorn.
Now it's all racist boomba.
Goodbye. Goodbye. And with Misa Hylton, I felt she was going to say a lot more, and then she quickly deleted all of the IG stories. So I was like, girl, what was the tea you were going to spill?
Like, why would you get our hopes up like that?
So if you want to stand in it, tell us the tea that you ran to the internet to tell us. Like, you guys are celebrities. You have an exorbitant amount of money and wealth and connections, but y'all run to the internet to tell us your problems. Like, us peasants can do anything about it, and then don't tell us what it is.
That so, part, like, you know, just very vague, like,
yeah, like, if you gonna tell it all, or stop playing in my face. And Russell Simmons has always been trash, he's been consistent at being trash. I hate that he treats his family, his daughters, like that, but I don't know what y'all want me to do about it.
I will say that was kind of disturbing to. I think that was more disturbing to hear about because, you know, I hate to say it, there are a lot of men who equate being a good husband with being a good father, and those two things are not mutually exclusive. And I had kind of like naively hoped that despite his other fuck shit, at least he was doing right by his daughters. But to hear that not only has he been absentee and deluded when he is present, to know that it has been years of them having to basically, which men, both Ming and Aoki have had like modeling careers while they were in college. So I can only imagine for the most part, with the exception of, you know, assistance from their mother, they've been kind of paying their own way. So it's just kind of like to hear that he, like, the one thing that could have possibly given you a, not even, no, actually, it couldn't redeem you, but just to know that, like, you literally have nothing to offer as far as, like, being a contributor to society. Like, you can't take care of your goddamn kids. You can't be an upstanding citizen, keep your fucking dick to yourself. You can't do shit. Like, you are just a useless sack of shit. But whatever. Prayers down to all involved. And that's what I got on that one. Britney Spears. Britney Jean, get behind me. Get behind me, Britney. So, I want to say earlier this week, Britney Spears and her husband, I think his name is Sam. I just can't remember his last name. But Brittany Jean and Sam was down to the bar with the Rich Cosby in Vegas. And they happened to see that Victor Wembanyama? Wimby is what they shorten his last name to. Victor Wimby, who is the most recent number one draft pick in the NBA draft, he was apparently in Vegas as well. I want to say Vegas is where they do like the G League stuff or like the summer league, whatever. And so I guess he was there with the San Antonio Spurs. Brittany knew who he was, and she was trying to tap him on the shoulder, and she was using a British accent apparently, and she was tapping him, and then all of a sudden his or the director of security for the San Antonio Spurs basically, like, backhands Brittany and, like, smacks her in the face. And, you know, they just keep on walking, blah, blah. So Brittany and Sam, they go, they sit down. They're like, okay, that was weird. Apparently, the security manager comes back. He apologizes. Well, yeah, he claims he apologized. He's like, oh, you know, fans are crazy. I'm gonna just stop right here. Who is this little nigga to, like, have quote unquote fans? Like, I'm gonna be completely honest.
I've never heard of this man.
Like, what? Like, I'm sorry. Who do y'all think is coming after this little 18-year-old in Vegas? Because he's only 18, from what I understand. 18 or 19. Either way, I just don't understand that part. And so, from what I understand, the two members of security, because Britney's security person kind of, like, had it out with him, and that was when they filed a police report. What I think would have possibly wrapped this up before it got crazy was for the next day for Victor and his security to be interviewed. Number one, you laughing about it and saying, oh, I don't really know who Britney Spears is like that. First of all, fuck you, because how dare you talk bad about Britney Jean Spears of Covington, Louisiana? How dare you? But number two is just like then to laugh. And then to say, well, you know, she's bugging, so she slapped herself in the face. Now, the video's coming out that you or that your, number one, you didn't even look back to see who it was. But number two, your security manager basically backhanded the living fuck out of her. And, like, now y'all all look like assholes. So I'm just trying to figure out, where is the media training with these people? Where is the PR? Do the team, I feel like we have asked this question multiple times on the podcast. Where is the PR teams?
They're non-existent.
Were their jobs phased out because of inflation? Like, I couldn't help but wonder.
I don't even think in this day and time people care about having a PR team or image. They are the brand themselves, yeah. And they are their own image. So that can lead to the detriment for a lot of athletes. I just hope you have a solid sports management team somewhere in there.
I feel like they all can't be Agent Nicole Lynn and her team with Jalen Hurts. That's the black-ass bottom line. I will say, I think it's very, I'm very uncomfortable with the way that the media is framing this towards Britney Spears' mental health. And there's something I can't put my foot on, but it just does not sit well with me how their first reaction was to be like, oh, you know, she doesn't know how to act in public. So she basically, you know, just attacked this man. I don't like that. But then also, I feel like there is a question or there is a conversation to be had about the past, what decade of her life has been very complicated. And I do wonder how that affects her public life. But I also think this idea to just rush to be like, oh, she was deranged. And number one, I'm shocked Britney had know who the fuck that man was.
Right, that's good on her for actually, that means she must watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, like,
if she was walking past me down the street, I would not, sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man. To this day, I still don't know, like, he's not important enough for me to have even committed his face to memory. Like, let's start there. I was going to ask you something, but I forgot what I was going to ask. Damn. I'm sexy dancing in the house. I feel like Britney Spears. Shout out to Cardi. But, yeah, Britney Jean, get behind me. You're safe here, because I will go to war for Britney Jean. What boy on MySpace used to say, leave Britney alone.
Leave Britney alone.
It's wild that he's like, I think he's straight now.
Last time I checked, and very conservative.
Wow. They're Clay Aiken vibes. Ooh. And on that note, let's take a trip down. Matter of fact, since we're in Louisiana, let's go on down to the Boot, New Orleans. So question, have you ever been to Essence Fest?
No. I have been to New Orleans. It was funny story is I was supposed to go to this one.
What?
Yes, we could not coordinate schedules.
Damn.
I had the tickets in my cart.
Oh my. How much were tickets?
So I don't know what was going on this year, but they had it. They sold the rollout as like, oh, you buy a ticket for like a day of events, including the nighttime concerts. And then when I would wait as they announced more acts, it ultimately ended up being like around 218 to 300 max for 3-day tickets to every concert.
Oh, wow.
So basically $100 each day or night of the concert, which was a freaking steal, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's because where it is, the Superdome, they have so many seats.
Yeah.
So you have a variety of options of choosing which concerts you want to go to. But I'm like, $100 just for the tickets for the a steal.
Right.
I don't know moving forward if they're going to do that, but I think they were anticipating a lot more sales.
Yeah.
So they had a gazillion seats on the floor, but everything else was like very like mid price. So I liked it from what
I've always wanted to go to Essence Fest. Growing up, I think most Black girls going to the hair salon, getting my hair done. There were four magazines that were always in the hair salon. There was Hype Hair / Black Hair Sophisticate. There was Jet Magazine. There was Ebony, and there was Essence. Susan Taylor has legit been on my like vision board since I was a kid. Like, I have her biography. My mom always thought it was very important that, you know, I know, like, oh, here's what Susan Taylor's done, blah, blah. So Essence Fest was kind of like, and of course, y'all know I'm the original auntie. So, like, the idea of going to Essence Fest was always, like, a really big thing for me. And then when Girls Trip came out, like, a few years ago, I was like, oh, okay, I really do think I want to go and, like, explore, blah, blah. So Essence Fest this year has actually been in a lot of controversy. And it actually unearthed that there have been some issues with the local municipality when it comes to Essence Fest for the past few years. So there is a bookstore in New Orleans called Baldwin and Company. And there, according to some of the people that I have seen talk about it, during Essence Fest, during Jazz Fest, during Southern Decadence, during Mardi Gras, certain businesses will like host events as like not outliers, but like say, oh, you're in town for so-and-so, go ahead and stop by here while you're in town. And so Baldwin and Company apparently was having a Black author book panel, and they were given a cease and desist by Essence Fest because apparently they had threatened, or allegedly they had disobeyed the city's ordinance, in which I want to say if you're within a certain like radius of the convention center, you have to have a special permit to host anything. Otherwise, you like can't have any of it. Like, you're basically supposed to be shut down during Essence weekend.
So just to get on that, Essence's issue with Baldwin and Co. is that they used marketing material for the event using Essence's name and logo.
Right.
Which, why the fuck wouldn't they do that? But go on.
So my thing is, like, I have been, so at Baldwin and Company's idea is like, oh, we didn't explicitly say Essence Fest. We just happened to say, oh, if you're in town during this set of days. And for me, I'm like, is that not what y'all are in town for? Like, maybe I'm wrong, because once again, I've never been. But I find it interesting that the conversation about how there's always conversation about how much tourist dollars these outside events bring into the city. And the opinion of local businesses is that these events actually cause more harm than good, and they do not actually, those dollars don't go.
Oh my God, an event at a bookstore? Oh!
What?
I just don't understand how. So you're doing a great job explaining it, by the way. No, you are. The crux of it is Essence, and not just Baldwin and Co.
Yeah.
Essence does not want Black-owned businesses using events around Essence Fest, around the same time frame, with their marketing materials, with their logo, promoting it as an essence event.
Right.
My whole thing is, if someone's buying tickets, if someone sees a flyer, especially Essence, you keep every, y'all keep track of every dollar made. Why wouldn't the person know that it's not an official Essence Fest event? Wouldn't you just know that you're supporting a surrounding area business that's Black owned? Or do they just assume that people are stupid and don't know the difference between these events?
I think it's also wild that, like, these, because apparently this is a big issue with the Jazz and Heritage Festival. My thing is that, like, okay, the government / city council is always bragging, once again, like we talked about, oh, we're bringing all this money into the city. And in my head, I'm like, y'all don't think that sounds kind of weird that on these big name, big number weekends, the actual local small owned businesses can not benefit because y'all make them close down? Which,
and that's my issue with the whole thing. Like, why? Okay, say you don't want me to use your logo, you don't want me to use the words Essence Fest. What's wrong with me if I am a bookstore and I know this is probably around the second busiest time of the year that my targeted audience will be in my city? Can I not have an event to help monetize my Black owned business? Essence, y'all have no problems when anybody else is doing it. But I think mine, because they settled the lawsuit, or they dropped it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, and also I think they realized it looked very fucked up.
It's
and
a bad look.
It's the infinite David versus Goliath story. Yeah. Like, you are this big corporation that does this event. And also, I think listening to a lot of the longtime New Orleans residents be like, look, back when Essence first started, it was literally for the aunties. The aunties came, and it's not even so much like they were, which we'll get into the whole respectability thing later. They were like, the whole point was they came into New Orleans, and they are the ones who spent the money directly with these businesses. Yeah, they went to Essence Fest and went to all the activations and did so and so. But when it came to going to dinner, they were renting out restaurants and really putting money into the local economy. And now it's kind of just like that's just not the wave anymore. And I guess my biggest thing is I don't know if Essence realizes that there's kind of like a need for not a revamping, but I feel like there has to be a way for them to coexist. Like, yes,
they have to work on inclusivity.
Yeah, they also, another thing, they also need to work on their, once again, PR, because to hear that a bunch of, like, the big wigs at Essence was on social media talking cash money shit about these people, and, like, anyone who had, because apparently there was a complaint about how Essence was not, or Essence Fest was not as politically aware this year, which I find weird, because from what I heard, they had like a huge global forum in which Vice President Kamala Harris was on the panel. But then they were like, well, you know, y'all don't have voting activations or people to register to vote. No offense, but I would only assume that the type of targeted demographic that is attending Essence Fest is already well fucking aware of what is at stake when it comes to, like, the political system. But also, why, even on vacation and / a festival, are Black women supposed to be downtrodden with our civic duty? Like, maybe I'm just tripping, but I feel like, while it's great to have, you know...
that's a good point.
Yeah, like, it's great to have those topics, but, like, this idea that it should be converted into fully a civic engagement event, I'm sorry.
I think overall, aside from the lawsuit issue, I think some people are afraid to admit that maybe you're just aging out of Essence. Which,
that part.
At this point with it, given what the whole NDIRE thing, I would, if I didn't want to give my money to Essence, I would just go that weekend to support local businesses in Kiki. Because at this point, y'all doing way too much.
Yeah.
Y'all meaning Essence. Y'all meaning the aunties who do not want to see change in, you know, sexual liberation and body autonomy aren't actually for you if it's not done your way. So,
yeah.
Meanwhile, I still have an Essence subscription. I doubt there are a lot of people who still do for print, but, you know, go off, aunties.
Yeah. Speaking of the aunties, I'm gonna make this short and sweet. NDR, you kiss my fucking ass, okay? How dare you? How motherfucking dare you? Like, really? And then to backpedal and be like, it's never my intention to criticize sisters. I'm criticizing.
That's all you've done
Essence.
Your entire musical career.
Literally.
Is be a pick me Hotep priestess. Like, get it together.
Ma'am. Like, ma'am. To be
post
like
your
no.
own fest if you don't want to see people twerking. I'm sorry, everybody twerks.
Number one, if I see that hag bitch say context one more goddamn time on social media, I will literally go and sweep the beach.
Who the fuck is an India RE? I'm sorry.
Let's be BFFR. This idea, number one, you coming at Janelle Monáe, and then to frame it against, what will the children think? I'm sorry. You think children are at Essence Fest? But number one, Janelle Monáe went on stage at like 1 o'clock Central, like Central, 1 a.m. Central. Meg Thee Stallion was like at 11 o'clock Central. Who churn is up?
If y'all don't want to raise y'all kids, just say that. Fucking say that, because y'all do not, I will say again, y'all do not give a fuck about the kids, because if y'all did, y'all would actually vote for politicians that support gun legislation. But go ahead.
Fuck them kids. That's like...
The kids
in context.
The kids twerking. The kids. Nipple. The kids. Get the fuck out of here. Stop. I'm sick of it.
I just very much feel like everybody needs to get a fucking grip. And at this point, I just... something has to change. Will it change? Probably not. But like, I think we are at the point now where, as the demographic that is, or at least a portion of the demographic that Essence readers make up, we need to be real and say that like, times are changing, but also like, there has to be some type of pivot or transition, because this I can't speak for anyone else, but for me growing up, I really did hope that like one day, like, oh, I want to go to Essence Fest. I want to do this. I want to do that. And now I'm kind of just like, what would be the fucking purpose?
I think honestly, since I've been watching when they announced the acts, I think they were attempting to pivot by including more younger artists like Meg.
Yeah.
Like Ari. You know, outside of R&B, even Lil Wayne performed. I'm like, okay,
this whole controversy with the whole 50th anniversary of hip hop, but not including fucking Juvenile. Like, are y'all dumb?
Well, Juvenile a little problematic, so that's understandable. But my point is, I feel like they were trying to do that, and this is the first time they tried to do it with like a spectrum of outside of your normal Mary J. Blige, Jill Scott's.
Yeah.
But the moment they did that, here comes NDR-E ball-headed Hotep ass causing all the controversy on top of controversy that was already happening. So this was probably not a good year. I think they should have gotten a better handle on performers.
Yeah.
Panels, because they know Meg's artistry, so to speak. So they know what they were getting with that.
Yeah.
I just think it really comes down to the consumer, and the schedule was so stacked. You can pick and choose whose performances you wanted to see. So I appreciate, if I had to give them a bone, Essence, even though I'm a drag y'all, yay for variety, yay for coming into the modern age. It's just now that they made that little change, you see how the people are really acting.
Yeah. I also think it's an organizational thing. Like,
yeah, maybe. The organization was kind of shoddy this year.
Maybe have, like, if we're talking about music, maybe have an auntie night. Like, okay, so we're going to have the auntie night with the Patti LaBelle and the Gladys night.
Does she know the words?
I'm not even going to go there because I wasn't even going to bring it up. But me and her got beef because why? Never mind. Anywho's.
I'm a private dancer. A dancer for Patty my pies.
Do what you bake me to do. Ooh, yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, that's my thing with Essence. We got to move on.
Yeah. Oh, Cody Watching Jones. The clock. Oh, Lord. Are we on the clock?
We on the clock.
Cody. Okay, so let's take a break and come back.
Because you know how Anchor go if we stay in one segment too long.
I forgot we still on Anchor.
Which is now Spotify for podcasters or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. But we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Back. Thank you for these sponsored messages. We are
black. We're black.
All right. What y'all came to? This is what y'all came for. Employees, it's just so hard to find good help these days. You know what I mean? Like, you know, no one wants to work anymore.
No one wants to fucking work and get off your ass and like, work.
Like, it just seems like nobody wants to work anymore. And, you know, I just feel like there are these very gracious employers, benevolent, if you will. They will allow you to set up shop in their womb and dispense your loser sperm. And they will birth your civil rights named babies. And they will allow you to live in their house and travel as a nanny. And there's just no gratitude. There's just no gratitude.
What a fucking munch.
Y'all already know what's happened. Keke Palmer, which I feel like the fact that outside of having her as his child's mother and outside of having Monstar for a brother, I genuinely do not know what this man's contribution to society is. I do not know. One second I heard he was a TV writer. Another second I heard he was a fitness trainer, which first of all, I feel like that's the red flag. The only fitness trainer baby daddy I acknowledge is Victoria Monet's baby daddy.
He is fine as hell. He ain't got no neck, but he's fine as hell.
Oh, girl, you know, too many crunches or whatever them workouts is.
Crunch and munch.
All he do is love on baby Hazel, and he love on Victoria, and he helps her keep that snatched body, and he just be supporting. That's what, and hopefully, knock on wood, because, you know, once you give these niggas an inch, they will take a Texas mile and embarrass you. I'm going to just go ahead and say this. You or men in this idea that they need to humble women or bring women back down to earth and reduce them to size, I already have a problem with that shit. Because who the fuck are you? What Tommy Davis has said, who the fuck are these niggas? But on top of that, to do it publicly and put your child's mother in the
because direct, we can't call her your wife,
you know, conservative. I'm traditional. I have morals and standards, but your morals and standards didn't include putting a ring on before you put your baby girl everywhere.
Did you have morals and standards, girl? When you forced your ex-girlfriend to have an abortion and then you got
3 weeks later?
Yeah, where were the standards and morals then? What about the kids?
What about the kids? Safety. We need role models.
Fathers in the home.
Fathers in the home. Fathers in the home. Christian Walker becoming the authority on deadbeat dads was not on my bingo card, but whatever. He's still a piece of shit. But yeah, I just feel like the idea of it was deliberate to not only try and humble her, but then to do it publicly on the internet where the internet is running rampant with incels and like just really incels and pick me priestesses. And it's just a reminder that it's so easy for us to say, oh, I wish that the pick-me's and those type of men would all get together. And then one day it finally hit me. They don't want the pick-me's because they, for them, it's about a power dynamic. They take joy in the idea of breaking a woman, to break her down and like to reduce her and to say, I got her to change. And I just think it's very much a loser activity. I will say something in the milk ain't clean about like the, I guess like the days that, or the hours that passed, because I feel like she's tiptoeing around saying, well, you know, I'm not going to leave him. Because
she has every right to. She shouldn't have to leave him based on one tweet and the internet's opinion.
Like at this point, I feel like we have all established that if you're gonna stay, you're gonna stay. That's fine. Like, you know, that let it be.
They could be kikiing in bed right now while she's selling merch.
Literally, she can be like, "I'm a mother, love you, baby, Bobby, I love you." But the one question that I keep seeing is, did Kiki know that this nigga was problematic before? And I have to say, on one hand,
did Gabrielle Union know that her husband was married?
All I'm going to say is this. All I'm going to say is that yes, there are men who show up as representatives of the best selves in the beginning stages, but also the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde is always, it's always a flit. It's always
Dr. nearby. Jekyll.
Yeah, like it's always nearby. I don't know how to explain this, and maybe this is like the result of my praying grandmother always saying she wanted me to have discernment. But I am very much one of those people where, like, after a certain point, no matter how much you try to be on your best behavior, I'm gonna see through that shit. And I can't help but wonder if a similar situation has happened where she was just like, well, I mean, he fine. And, you know, the dick brought a girl back. Like, because I'm sorry, let's all be real. Dick will have a lot of people doing a lot of strange things. I can't attest to that because I've never been dumb over dick. But what I can say is that I would not be surprised if eventually his true colors did show. And she was like, you know what? That's just something I'm willing to live with. And I think that eventually this whole thing will die down. But I just really do wonder, like, at what point did you decide, like, okay, yeah, this nigga is tweaking, but, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Because, you know, I'm a mother.
I think the main point of this whole situation, I don't care if she stays with him or not, that's the father of her child, that's her business. She's a millionaire, he's a $1, you know, whatever. It's the fact that you're my part. I'm thinking at it on a deeper level where I don't give a fuck because the internet has said what they needed to say. Why would you want to publicly embarrass me when you have my phone number?
Yes.
Why would you want to put me into the position to have all these narratives spin off when you could have just called me? You could have just came out of your basement and spoke to me on the upper level, as opposed to opening me up to so many criticisms from the entire world. On a public platform. That's my whole issue with it. So if they can work through that, or if they can address it, whether they break up or not, I don't really care about that. It's just, I would think that if I'm in a relationship with you, we share a child, you would have enough respect for me to effectively communicate how you feel.
That's the part. You don't respect me, fam. Like, you just don't respect me, because there's no way you were like, oh, even though, like you said, I got you. I know y'all got each other number. I know that you could text Kiki on your Boost mobile form, or on your Nextel chart, or your Jitterbug, whatever. I know you, or your Cricket mobile. Like, you could have easily sent her a message. You know, you could have gotten, a matter of fact, you were on her Wi-Fi. Let's just be fucking for real. And that, like you said, that is the part that has baffled me. because for me, and once again, they could possibly stay together. For me, there's no coming back from that. Me personally, Taylor would have been done. Like I said, you already want to break me down and, you know, bring me to size or to scale. But to do that publicly, let me go ahead and call U-Haul. And, you know, and I always tell people, I would literally, and I have told you Martha several times, if we're talking about a respect factor, if the moment you decide to disrespect me, I would literally walk away with the clothes on my back and nothing else. Because if I allow you to disrespect me, you will continue to do it. There's no rehabilitation for that. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. But, you know, I
could be wrong. Go to bed, Joseph.
Go to bed, Joseph.
What's the next topic?
Oh, we're done. Do you have any pop culture?
I guess as we delve into TV and movies, I'm very excited for the Barbie movie.
Stop playing with me, Riley.
Let's talk about Bravo divorces.
So that actually was like the monopoly of the topics because we had, Croy and Kim are just scammers. So I don't even think we need to give that.
We don't need to give them any attention.
Yeah.
It's giving shenanigans. Yeah. It's giving we're broke and we don't want to pay our bills. So we have to do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's also giving y'all maybe too broke to actually afford a divorce.
That part,
I think it's really that.
I know for a fact neither one of them can afford Randy Kessler. So let's just. I'm just saying.
Racially ambiguous Randy Kessler to me.
matter of fact, I found out. I want to say he's actually Jewish. Because I want to say one of my friends
maybe
was like,
that's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, one of my friends was like, he's always at Temple. And I was like, oh, really?
He is a black man. I'm putting him on black man watch. Him and Tom Hanks.
He is Passe Blanc. Passe en Blanc. Kyle and Mauricio apparently have separated after, they said, or reports came out that after 27 years, they were separating. And then, 24 hours later, she was like, oh, it's not true. I don't know where that came from. Girl, what?
I believe it is because I don't have TikTok, so I wasn't aware of the TikTok conspiracies.
Girl, but I'm on TikTok, and I didn't even know that.
Right. Y'all have a lot of time on y'all hands. I'm going to just say that. But I did see where people were like, why is she posting these, non-lovable Instagram post for Father's Day and his birthday. Like it was very much, hey, have your happy day, nigga. Okay, bye.
Damn, Gina.
Right. I do think they are separated. I do think they're getting a divorce only because another couple pulled these shenanigans and now they're divorcing Monique and Chris.
Yes.
It was the No People magazine's lied. They got up on camera and said, we're not getting a divorce. And now they are divorcing.
For two things. Number one, as soon as I heard the news about Kyle and Mauricio, I was simply mad because one thing. I was like, now we got to hear from that fucking cunt, Allison Dubois.
Oh my gosh. The children are listening, Ashley.
But what about the children? And I was just like, we got to hear from that crazy bitch and her electronic cigarette again about how I knew it. And I just fucking hate that woman. Absolutely not. Number two, there has been a lot of discussion about Chris's weight loss. And they're like, oh, he's lost weight because he went Monique no more. And granted, I get the internet got to get their jokes off. But I have literally been fighting the urge to be like, y'all, he has been losing weight since they were on, or since they left Potomac. I'm so sorry, y'all. Like I said, I get the jokes. I get you got to get your content off. But, he's been.
Oh, he's going to be remarried in no time.
Also, the idea that they think that his mother was still within her rights to be disrespectful the way she was to Monique. I'm sorry. The mother-in-law was still wrong for the way she treated her on camera. I'm sorry.
Some people are just better. As I get older and I see people who get married and I see people who delve into relationships. Some people just work better as life partners, even if that means children are included in the package. Not everybody needs to be married.
Bendy facts.
Bendy facts. I feel like they'll still be friends. He just could not provide what she wanted in a husband, which I still don't know what she wanted, because I watched that first season. I'm like, girl, Monique, what do you want? He says he's working on it, but she wanted immediate results.
Yeah.
Which is unrealistic. But yeah, I feel like they'll still be fine. It's the internet is going to have a problem now.
Right. I genuinely do think that if they are able to keep their heads down and like just really be amicable, I feel like they could have, I feel like those children could have a chance at still not being emotionally traumatized. I also find it interesting that she straight up said, she was like, our marriage was not healthy, our dynamic was not healthy, and we both realized that it was not fair to put our children through that and expose them. And everyone's like, oh, but divorce is just the easy way to get out when you're inconvenienced. Why? I don't know why people are so afraid of divorce. I don't get it.
More specifically, Black people.
Black people, specifically Black men. I do not understand. The fact that women got
It's because they can't afford it.
Women got to drag y'all down the aisle in the first fucking place. Then when you get there, you don't know how to fucking act right. And when they're like, oh, okay, you know what? This was a mistake. Let's just go ahead and go our separate ways. All of a sudden, it's, well, it's just a minor inconvenience. And babe, please, none of that stuff. Like, no. No, it's not.
Their future healthy. Husband, if you're listening, Kiki believes in divorce. Just honey, gonna put that out there.
Honey, the Fendi facts, okay? I just, and I have always said, yes, there are situations where you do, how can I put this? Because I also feel like I'm not trying to do PR for a marriage, because I just saw a clip from the Love and Marriage Detroit, and I'm like, y'all are terrible advertisement for marriage. Like, all of y'all need to be divorced.
There's so much anti-marriage propaganda out there. You
right, like,
make a mistake at this point in your life.
I'll put it to you this way: if I was a emotionally unattached woman, I would continue to be emotionally unattached, because are you shitting me? This is what I have to deal with? Absolutely fuck not. Absolutely the fuck not. Like, get out of my face. But I very much feel like, and I cannot speak for anyone else, in my marriage, Jamar and I have said that we are committed to being the best versions of ourselves, so that we can always achieve the best version of our marriage and our unit. However, in the event that something falls off the tracks and we are just no longer able to be the best versions of ourselves with each other, I would rather walk away than to be like, oh, okay, you're not happy, I'm not happy, but because, you know, we're together, we still got to make it work. Because what use is that to be in a situation where neither one of you are getting your emotional needs met, but you're just like, oh, we're a unit. The units don't function unless the individual pillars are at their best. Point blank, period. And I genuinely feel like they were not, like you said, they just were not seeing eye to eye. I think that by the time Chris was ready to do the work, she was like, you've had all her, and maybe I'm wrong, my perception is she was like, you've had all this time to hear what I want and what I need, and now that you're ready to do it, it should be instant for you. And he's like, well, no, I just got here. Give me some time to process. I also think that she wants someone who, there are two types of people in the world. There are proactive people and there are reactive people. I think she wanted a husband, or she wants a husband who will be proactive and anticipatory of her needs. And he wants a wife that he can just say, oh, okay, well, you know, we were just out here living our lives and now here we are. Let's do something after the fact. They're just not on the same wavelength. It's unfortunate that therapy did not help, but then also I don't think that therapy can help when you're not being honest about what you want out of the deal. And that's no shade, I have told y'all several times, and back when I was in grad school, you cannot afford to lie to your therapist because you are literally wasting their time and you're wasting your time and your money. Because if you're not being 100% honest about what you want to get out of the experience, but more importantly, what you're willing to put in to get a buyout on it, you're literally wasting time and money. That is it. That is the black ass bottom line. It is not gonna work. And I think that neither one of them were prepared to be real about what was happening. And it's unfortunate, but I genuinely do hope that they can, I hope they can tune out the noise of what the public is saying and just like be good people to each other so that they can be good for their kids. Will it happen? I don't know. I don't know.
In Colin Mauricio's case, I definitely think he was cheating.
Do you think that she is having an affair with this country singer?
Kyle is someone who always needs a tether, whether it's Teddy, whether it's her sister. She always needs that one solid person to be there and fulfill what her husband cannot. So I can believe it, yes.
He will never emotionally fulfill you.
She always has that. She always needs a sidekick, so to speak.
Yeah, she needs external validation.
Yeah, that's actually.
I think that's indicative of an issue that her mother caused, but I'm not gonna go there because we'll be here all day. So
right, yeah, I can believe that. I mean, lesbians are cool. Happy Pride.
Be who you are for your pride. Don't hide, you know, ally, because you know, happy Pride Month because you're gay and stuff.
I got you balloons and cake because you're gay and stuff,
you know, and I got you the Skittles because they the color of the rainbow because you're gay and stuff. Oh, girl, you need to get by. Oh, you know, all this booty. Okay, sorry, I just love that video. but in addition to like what, so I get, well, not I guess, I see that Sonya. And Aaron, is his name Aaron? Yeah. Sonya and Aaron are expecting their second child. I think that is great. And I think they need to have that baby off the show because, Real Housewives of Atlanta. I don't know what y'all are doing. I don't know. I'm not watching. I have been seeing like the clips on IG and the tweets, but I'm not.
They need a new cast. Okay, so let's move on to Beverly Hills, which we're really anticipating coming back. They've already wrapped filming. Do you think they should pick cameras back up since this Kyle and Mauricio news came out?
Hell yeah. I need Candy and a camera. They're taking cameras back up for Sandoval shit, so I definitely want to see the cameras back up for this.
I agree.
I just feel like it's only right. And didn't they pick the cameras back up at Real Housewives for what his name is in Drew Sidor?
I think very briefly because they had just finished filming when that came out. So yeah, they didn't hesitate. So maybe that's what can help Atlanta at this point because I don't know what else to say. We've been saying it on the podcast for the past three seasons. Y'all need a full reboot. I will be watching the New York reboot because it actually looks so fucking good.
Yeah.
I cannot believe y'all are paying them white women $750,000 per person for the Ultimate Girls Trip New York edition. Like, that's crazy to me.
I don't understand. That money could have went to the third season of Southern Charm New Orleans, or it could actually just went ahead. And y'all can just go ahead and kickstart the first season of Real Housewives of New Orleans. Let's just do that. But no, y'all want to spend money on these old, decrepit white women and their problematic shit.
Bravo is afraid of change. Like, I'm getting so tired of the, we need to bring so-and-so back. We need to bring this person back.
Oh, girl.
Across y'all, all franchises. Like, I think.
Number one.
Y'all need to take a risk and just do something new. Like, it shouldn't have taken this long for a New York reboot.
Facts.
We could have had Atlanta reboot damn near
10 years ago. What was I gonna say? Number one, Nene, no disrespect to you, Miss Lanithia. you are not going back on Bravo. I'm so sorry to tell you. I know you think that you could go back to give the fans what they want. You can give the fans what they want, but it's not going to be on the Bravo NBC Universe Network. I know that fucking much. Maybe you can go to WeTV with that shit or OWN, but you ain't going to get it from Bravo, because I don't know like what delusional world you're living in, but you cannot do the things that you did and just be like, oh, okay, but the fans. But the kids, but the fans. No. No. What about the fans? No. I don't need Portia to come back. Number one, I feel like we have a very clear instance of what happens when people come back to stuff. How many times have they brought Sheree back and she still gives nothing? I'm on my
But she gave us hotel.
Hotel.
In their real relationship.
I am on my quarterly rewatch of the franchise from start to finish. And I think I'm in like season 5, the season when Kenya and Portia got there. And I'm just here to tell y'all, Sheree was a delusional nutcase from day one. And I do not know how she lasted 4 seasons, but how she has been able to come back and still give nothing but Zalulu. It's like Dwight said, I don't have time for this. Like, I don't. Phaedra being on Married to Medicine, but no one being able to claim who in medicine she's with. Let it go. Stop trying to revive me. Stop trying to revive these past Bravo celebrities. First, we damn sure ain't bringing fucking Kim Bierman back. Like, are y'all dumb? I just know. That's all I got for Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, wake up, Bravo. Wake up.
I will say I need to start looking at BravoCon tickets.
Oh, yeah.
That's in November. One thing about TV, did you watch the BET Awards?
Nope.
I saw clips.
How'd you feel?
It was nice to see Offset and Quavo.
Yeah.
BET, this whole thing with no hosts, no announcement, no promotion, because I did not know the BET Awards were coming on until the day of.
Yeah.
I know we're still on a writer's strike, so
yep,
that could have been part of it. But BET, I'm going to need y'all to do better. Yeah. I did love that JT swung her phone at Mr. Lucifer.
Ghetto.
Very much ghetto. Very much on brand for BET.
It was very much given Apalaca. It was very much given Dade County. It was very much given City Girl from the 305. Also, Ice Spice Girl, why are you here? Random. I just want to go back to Bravo real quick. I just think it's funny. Cast members will be like, I have all this sway and this bank with the network because I'm the OG. And yet they still signed the contract when Bravo was like, hey, no, we're doing this the way we're going to do it. I will not be watching season 14 of Real Housewives of New Jersey because I told y'all, I'm not doing another season of the Gorgas versus the
Love Football. Did you watch this last season?
I did. And that was what led me to the decision where I was like, y'all could have really, because I feel like with
this Danielle... is Teresa's show. I just hope y'all know.
Say what?
This is Teresa's show.
And that's my thing. It's Teresa's show, and they were still like, oh yeah, so Melissa can come back. What are we doing here? Like, she straight up said,
the well has run dry, and again, let's do a new reboot.
Facts. She told that woman point blank, I'm never going to see you again. Melissa said, where you going, sis? She said, you're going. You never coming back. And she should have known as soon as Andy said, oh, good luck with that, babe.
But
babe.
Andy, you hear babe. The people, you see what they're babe. Saying. They keep saying they're tired of this. They're tired babe. Of this pivot.
Babe. Like, y'all are never going to get those people.
This is why I say Bravo is afraid of change.
I do find it interesting that there's always conversation of like how detrimental Real Housewives of Atlanta is or Real Housewives of Potomac. And I'm like, have y'all ignored the fact that the most criminal franchise is New Jersey, but also it is the most broken franchise? The Manzo sisters don't speak. The Wakili, like, it's just...
Nobody wants to see the Wakilis.
But I'm just saying, like, not all of those family dynamics are broken. And I'm like, y'all don't think it's time to revisit? Number one, I don't want to see another season of Posse and Blanc Dolores being like, well, you know, I love Paulie, and yes, I knew he was still married. I don't need to see that. I honestly wouldn't have minded building the cast around Danielle and Rachel Fuda. And more matter of fact, no. I just want Jen Fessler on my TV, honestly, because she's fucking hilarious. I want to know more about this sordid affair she had with James Gandolfini. Like, I would like to know shit like that. I don't want to see the crazy people arguing
retrospect. About... It's been 10 years since he passed away.
That's so sad. But I was watching, like, something about the Sopranos. Oh, yeah. I'm still pissed off at them two white men for ending the Sopranos the way they did, because what the fuck is wrong with y'all? But just kind of like, it's just not working. And the fact that y'all were like, well, let's do it again. What do y'all think is going to happen? Like, that Margaret and Jennifer are still going to be, Dolores is still going to find a way to be quote unquote neutral. Melissa and Teresa are still going to be, the husbands are still going to be messy. Jennifer and that man she's married to, they are still going to be. They're still going to be delusional. It's just a no. But yeah, anyways, I just had to get that out. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So what did you think of The Perfect Find on Netflix?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
What did you think of it?
I was confused.
Is that a good confusement or a bad confusement?
It was a bad confuse. And I only say that because I had messed up and read the book. Like,
that's movie. Terrible. I don't know why you did that.
I know. It was just terrible. And it's just, I get that. Matt, I'll put it to you this way. The Perfect Find would have been better. I would have seen it better as a series versus seeing it as a, like, movie. Because I felt like it was very rushed. It was very choppy. I will say, I had the casting wrong. I thought Lala was going to be Billy, and I thought, what her name is, Alicia, or is it Alicia or Asaya? Miss Hines, either way, I thought she was going to be Elodie. So the dynamic switching was very interesting. But yeah, I just, also, why, I thought the man was white. Why y'all bring, just confusion.
You thought what man was white?
What was Jenna's ex-husband or ex-boyfriend name?
Oh, I forgot his name.
Yeah, but
I didn't get that from the book. It's been a couple years.
Yeah, I thought in the book he was Jewish.
I will say, well, you know, Black Jewish people exist. Look at Drake. I will say, when it was announced, the casting didn't make sense to me. But because Gabrielle Union, like, adapted the screenplay,
yeah,
I guess she just had... I would not choose her for the lead.
Me neither.
I would not choose Keith's... What is his face? What's his last name?
Powers. Ryan Destiny Boothe.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen him. So I think the casting... And, of course, when you make a movie out of a book, 50% of what happens in the book is going to get chopped down.
Facts.
Because audiences have a low attention span. So you have three... chances to tell the story correctly. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books, Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan, is getting adapted into a show.
Ooh.
I believe for Hulu. So if you guys need a good, if you need a palate cleanser, because I've seen the reviews and people have been in my inbox about the Perfect Find movie, and I'm like, sorry to that man or that woman. The book is amazing. Go read the book. And I also want Gabrielle Union to stop playing. She's stereotyped in her roles. Because she's limited into what she can play. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just better to be behind the camera in front of you.
I would have loved to see her in a directorial role or like a producer. Or maybe even like a smaller role. Matter of fact, she could have possibly been Elodie or Billy. Or matter of fact, I actually would have loved to see her be Billy. But, you know, whatever. I will say the one perfect thing about The Perfect Find was being able to stare at Gina Torres's fine ass. That was all I got.
And the soundtrack is pretty decent.
That's the other part. The soundtrack, it's like, it was,
We need a black romance rom-com queen. Like, who is our black rom-com queen? New. Who could be the new supreme? Because Issa Rae tried it and it didn't work.
Yeah, she just...
Like, who can be our new rom-com black queen? Question of the day, I guess.
That's a good question. Hi, Cody. You back?
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to noodle on that. Any other TV or movie conversation?
Just that allegedly Tyler Perry has acquired BET. The official announcement hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But if it does come to fruition, I really want him to retool a lot of things. I know Rome wasn't built in a day. But if it's going to become the Tyler Perry Network, just let me know now so I can prepare myself to not watch BET.
I gotta cook and
there are so many
wash everything.
There are so many great opportunities if he takes it over where BET could go.
So you don't want to watch The Oval on repeat every day?
I don't mind. Just have like a dedicated day so I know not to watch it.
You know what? I genuinely do feel like if he wanted to, he could kind of like retool the infamous soap opera block. So it's because
that's what I'm saying.
When it comes down to it, Sisters and The Oval are shot in soap opera format. Like literally the time does not move. So like go ahead and
they
make
film
it.
72 episodes a day. They shoot it like a soap opera does. So.
Yes, yeah, so like go ahead and put that shit on weekly. And you know, like, or I'm sorry, daily, and then like supplement with other programming. But yeah, I will say I'm eager to see what the official announcement is gonna say.
Yeah,
because you
that
know,
Insecure
you know,
is on
work
Netflix.
On my nerves. Work on. I saw that, and I just want to know why are people the way people are? I just want to know.
I brought that up because when we used to do Insecure reviews,
yeah,
people would say, why is it 30 minutes? Why? And I kept telling y'all, it's for syndication.
Mm-hmm.
I just never thought HBO would be dumb enough to sell it to Netflix, which
was
the purpose of having separate streaming services. But HBO is on that bullshit. So I see what they're doing.
Speaking of which, Max, I don't know what y'all are doing.
Oh, right, because it's not HBO anymore. It's Max.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all are doing. I mean,
I think they're having an identity crisis, and money and greed and capitalism is winning out.
Because your original content
could be so much stronger than what it is right now, Max.
I do think it's very disrespectful to not only cancel shows, but then also remove them from the network so that you don't have to pay the streaming residuals. That's some dirty ass shit. That is some dirty gutter bucket type shit.
Even in this age where I will not hesitate to cancel a streaming service, because I know y'all gonna give me a code for another free month. Mm-hmm. So do better. And to all of you who are re-enlisting into the Insecure Navy, y'all have fun. I'm not getting into the narratives or the discussions or the reimaginings or the retooling. Y'all have fun. Just Issa, if you do a final proper finale, I'll get back into it because what we got was not enough. I say that with love. I love Issa.
With love. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do,
that's
do.
It.
Yep. Also, I'm very... I don't want to pit two bad bitches against each other, but I genuinely think if Run the World had bounced back from the loss of one of their main characters sooner, I think that they would have had a better chance at getting their season.
I have a confession to make.
Tell me.
From the little clips I see on Instagram, that show looks terrible. The main light-skinned girl, who I know you know because there's always one in every show.
Oh, yeah.
She is not a good actress.
I love Amber!
Sweet, cute, beautiful gowns.
I love her.
I love Bresha Webb from what I see.
She's the fucking standout. Like,
but
when I tell
she's
hilarious.
Bresha Webb deserves more. The show, and here's the thing, I can say the show looks terrible because there's a million iterations of that show with white cast, so we're entitled one Goofy knockoff.
Yeah.
We can make a million of those because we need to recoup on Friends. But I'll be very surprised if Starz renews it.
Yeah, I don't see it. It was too much time passed, and it's like there's enthusiasm behind it. But also, I think it was very...
It's just not good. Sorry.
It was very sloppy. Ella's still in Mexico. Like, just fucking
recast her, bro. So the bald girl who didn't want to get vaccinated, did they write her off or did they recast her?
They wrote her off, and I think they should have just recast her and went on about their business.
See, I was confused. I thought they recast her. Okay.
Yeah, no, that would have been the smart thing, but instead they're going with the, oh, we went on a vacation, and she decided to stay on vacation so that she can write her new book.
It's
no.
giving Tony Childs.
No, simply there are plenty of other short girls with a bald fade that could have instantly been added there, because the girl who was playing her in the first place was new, so it's not like y'all had to go get someone seasoned any goddamn way, but whatever. And then, oh yeah, that was what I was gonna say. But yeah, do you have an on that note?
My on that note was actually going to be towards Essence and gatekeeping with Black businesses, but I think we dragged them enough.
Yeah.
And I really hope they will plan next year's events better, because the lineup, that's what held me back from buying tickets, because half the lineup had not been revealed. And it's like, go ahead and buy this 3-day package. But I'm like, girl, who's performing?
Right. Surprise. So,
just better planning on that aspect. And y'all, I know they put out a statement yesterday about what they represent and what they want to do moving forward.
That statement was
but
bullshit.
Words don't mean anything if you don't put the work into doing it. Like, this is a, especially with next year in elections, Black people are going to want an escape.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have the golden opportunity to redefine your brand and be more inclusive instead of gatekeeping who can perform and who shakes their ass and who shakes their titty. Like, we don't care about that. Just give us a good product and we'll come through and support.
Period. And give a good system, because there were a lot of people who were saying that they found out after the fact that certain activations and panels and setups and exhibitions were being
held. The
website
was trash. It didn't even tell you what the panels were.
Interface, baby. Like,
it's too many talented Black people in tech for this to be happening.
All these established Black women in STEM and tech, y'all can't tap them and say, okay, we need to rework our interface. We need to rework the app, coding, software, all that stuff. All of that goes into a seamless event. And I think we, like I said, we've dragged them, but Essence is going to have to learn the hard way.
Are you not a badass?
Are you nothing badass? But Essence is going to have to learn the hard way that, like, a good face / glitz is not all it takes to make something run. In order for an event to be a well-oiled machine, you literally have to think, whatever minor details you can think of, you need to have someone who can go even more minute and think about the details, because the devil is in the goddamn details.
I hate to say it, and I hate to compare where you can't compete. BravoCon?
When you said it earlier, I was like, see, that's somebody who's got it right.
They have a schedule announced, like, they run back-to-back-to-back panels and events. The only negative thing I saw about BravoCon is that people had to, like, stand in line and wait to enter their event with seating, but it's a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just gonna put that out there. They give the people what they want for that brand.
Period.
Essence, I'm gonna need y'all to do better. Y'all were so worried about filing cease and desist.
Cease and desist those.
Now y'all need someone to come and rescue y'all, but it's okay. Y'all will do better. Just very disappointed from a book lover stance.
Facts.
On my end. And as a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony, what y'all doing? When is the Ebony Fest?
Child, is Ebony still even in print, or are they fully digital?
I believe they're fully digital. Issa just did a stunning shoot with them for the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Are you still doing
it? Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Not on that note is, you gotta know when to hold them, you gotta know when to fold them, you gotta know when to walk away, you gotta know when to run. And I have noticed something, and I've been noticing it for about the past, since before the pandemic. And it's that, and y'all might fry me for this, I don't care, because I now know for a fact that I'm not crazy. I think it's time for the reed to say goodbye.
Why?
I don't believe that the hosts are invested in it anymore. I think it has become a chore to them. And unfortunately, they are not able to camouflage. Like, it would be one thing if they were good at, hiding it. But, it's starting to, bleed over into the actual content of the podcast. And then it's also now just kind of it's almost like a slap in the face. And my thing is that you don't want to leave, you don't want to be asked to leave. You want to leave on your own terms, kind of like an Irish goodbye. I feel like right now there's just too much going on with them outside of the podcast. Crystals is apparently, she's pursuing, a professional license program degree. She's pursuing a master's degree. Kid Fury, I guess not now because of the writer's strike, but he was writing full-time for Rap Shit on HBO, and he was also working on a few other projects. But, unfortunately, he hit a bit of a wall in his mental health with that latest suicide attempt. And you don't just wake up one day after something traumatic like that and say, oh, okay, I'm good. I really feel like he needs more time to recalibrate without the idea of having to be like, oh, okay, I need to also be there for business. And apparently, I haven't listened to the episode yet, but apparently last week's episode was really kind of the breaking point for a lot of people. If you are a pop culture podcast, you cannot get on your podcast and basically say, oh, there's this topic. Oh, wait, I don't know who that is. In case y'all don't notice, Kiki and I specifically talk about pop culture events that we are at least knowledgeable about, and we at least have an opinion, and we are aware of all the players in the situation. We don't get on here and talk about shit that we don't know or that we don't care about, because we understand if we're going to tell y'all we talk about pop culture, and then when we talk about stuff, we're like, oh, I don't really know. Because think about that. How, boring would that be if it was,
First of all, I would never let that fly. I'd tell Ashley straight up, we not posting that.
Right. But, yeah, I just feel like after a certain point, you got to be able to know when to walk away and know when something is just not working. And I just genuinely, like I said, I don't think that their interest is in it anymore. And if it is, they have a very strange way of showing it. Also, the whole, this has been a criticism of other people. I don't know if I exactly see it this way, but it's just the constant underwhelming attitude of, oh, wow, we got fans. Oh, wow, y'all really like us. Oh, we have a show.
Can I say something?
Yes.
So I haven't I used to listen to The Read religiously.
Yeah.
Up until we started our podcast, because we were influenced by them.
Yeah.
So I stopped just so I wouldn't subconsciously be taking notes from what they're doing to incorporate it into our own podcast.
Oh, I remember.
So that's one. Two, I don't fuck with Crystal. I think she's fucking weird. And she has me blocked on Twitter. Fuck you, bitch.
Damn.
But while I was a fan from afar, I noticed a change when pandemic hit, because they were going on tour.
Yeah.
They were in their bag getting money. I feel like with the pandemic and that stopping shows, and then with his mental health issues, I feel like, and I could be wrong, maybe his issues were kind of putting a dent in their bag as well. And there's no effective way to tell your partner who is going through serious life-altering issues that they have to get their shit together so you guys can get back to the bag. Because
right.
If we're being honest, and the reason I got blocked by Crystals, we listened to The Read for Kid Fury. I could do without her. And I just had the balls to say it on Twitter, and she got mad. But it's a difficult situation where
you mentally cannot perform to secure your bag.
Facts.
But you cannot tell your partner, hey, I know you're depressed and all, but we need to get back to making money. Like, I think there's difficulty in that. So I'm actually surprised because I haven't heard any. I know that they couldn't record sometimes due to what he was going through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people were worried about him and stuff. So I just see him alive and thriving on social media when I can. So I'm happy to see that. But I think sometimes some things run their course.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see that happen. Maybe they should just take like a break.
That's the thing. They took like a what? I think it was like a 3-month hiatus at one point. And it's because, matter of fact, this is not the first time they have had to go on break because of something that has happened on Fury's end. Mm-hmm. And so, and then also, once again, I don't know how to say this nicely, so I'm just not going to say it. I don't want to, Crystal, anytime I log on or like listen to the read, I don't want to hear about how you overwhelm with your homework and with school, because this is a life.
This is an escape, bitch.
That's something you fucking chose to do. You fucking chose to say, you know what? I'm just so goddamn good at this ask the read stuff. I'll make a career out of it. Good for you, sis. Good for you for making.
I didn't even know she had done that.
Yeah, good for you for making Dear Abby a part of your fucking personality. Fabulous. Ooh. However, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear about how you beefing with your professor. Just like I don't want to hear, like I said, it's just after a certain point, it kind of starts to sound ungrateful. And I don't want to think of it that way. I just want to think that maybe things have run their course. I do think that it's just not wanting to let go, but I just genuinely feel it. And then also, there was allegedly, I still haven't listened to it yet, the day y'all start caping for Jonathan Majors because the victim in this case is a white woman, that is a day where I kind of got to just like...
But that's kind of on brand for Crystals.
That's the thing. It was Kid Fury that did.
Oh, he must not be doing well.
Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, I love him and it's just hard for me because I'm attached to him because he's in the Marvel Universe. So, like, technically, I just can't really trust it.
One movie?
That part. Like,
that's
one,
been put out.
One fucking movie. And, like, I actually watched something. I rewatched The Hard That They Fall. And I was like, God damn it, Jonathan Majors.
Black Western.
I was like, why the fuck would you do this shit? But
shout out to Lakeith Stanfield.
Also, Megan Good, baby.
Rest in peace.
All right, y'all. But yeah, that's all I got. No when to leave. Simple as that.
And on that note, we're gonna know when to leave. Can we just say that we really do appreciate our listeners?
We do.
We know we be gone for a minute, but life be life in.
Yeah.
And we truly appreciate you guys. And
I'm a mother.
We're mothers of big law, and, you know, we have things to do.
We got careers to build and also other people's careers to destroy so we can get to the tippy top.
Exactly.
Where can the people find you, Kiki?
They can find me on Twitter and Spill. That is my chosen leave Twitter network.
I still haven't gotten my code for Spill.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I could send you one.
Thank you, because I had shit.
Are you on a wait list or something?
No, they just never responded. And like the people on Twitter, like the actual, I guess, like the founders or whatever, they're just so snarky. They're like, we have a lot of stuff going on. So like, if you could just wait. And I was like, okay, whatever.
I got you.
Thank you.
You guys can find me on Twitter and on Spill watching this season of Love Island UK at KDASHDIOR. You guys can follow me on my Booksta at Brown Sugar Bookworm on Instagram.
Yay!
And you guys can also find me in somebody's DMs, probably your man's as well.
Bendy Facts.
Yeah.
Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ash doing too much, I think, because I randomly was in therapy and my therapist was like, if you had a memoir, it would be telling Ash is doing too much. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right, because I do indeed do too damn much. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram under those handles. And you can find me on the TikTok at the THEE Country Cosmopolitan, because yeah, I am a TikToker. I'm not one of those weird TikTokers that, like Kiki was talking about, that be like deep diving into shit where like Bravo celebrities. I'm a normal TikToker who like posts stuff about food and alcohol and also wigs. I've been doing a lot of wig talk stuff lately. So yeah.
Sensational Butter Lace is still undefeated.
Sensational.
If anybody's interested, Sensational has a shop on Amazon. Mm-hmm. On Amazon, and I know Prime Day is coming up, so y'all may want to check that out.
Also, y'all, I'm not here to talk shit, but Outre has some new products, and I am on week 3 with this wig, and it still looks fresh out the pack. That's all I'm saying.
Is it synthetic?
Yes! That's the crazy part.
Oh my gosh.
Rip me out the plastic out my neck and brand new.
I feel like Britney Spears.
I feel like Britney Spears.
All right, y'all. We will see y'all next time. That could be next month. That could be 3 months.
It could be next year.
But, you know, just know that we love and support all of you guys. And we'll see you next time.
We love you. Besos. Mwah.
Besos. Mwah.